Hello, this is Pastor Marquise from New Creation Christian Center, and we are a non-denominational church in the heart of Seattle, Washington. And we would love for you to join us at 7 p.m. on Saturday nights in the Emerald City Bible Fellowship Building at 7728 Rainier Avenue South, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Now join me in listening to the latest message at New Creation Christian Center. Come as you are and be transformed into a new creation by the Word of God.
On the commandments of the New Testament. So we were talking about, like I said, on Tuesday, we've been talking about the Old Testament commandments, but now we want to talk about the commandments of the New Testament. And I know that seems like a contradiction because the people, sometimes Christians read the Bible and they say, well, there's no commandments in the New Testament. Well, we're going to explore that a little bit. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. So let's pray and let's get into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. It is the very truth that we need to survive in this life. And Lord, we thank you that you reveal truth to us. We wouldn't know truth if you had not revealed it to us. So we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for you to give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us, so that we can know what you're saying and follow you in the ways that you're leading us. So, Lord, we take this time to give you thanksgiving in advance. We give you honor and glory and ask that you would speak to our hearts and give us a will to obey and to do the things that you tell us to do. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So, let's talk about the idea of commandments. Now, first of all, we know that Jesus is the king of the church. Amen? Now, if you've read church history at all, some of the reason why the historical church, and when I say the historical church, I'm talking about after all the disciples died and the institutional church started to form, the church started to refer to the head of the church, which sometimes referred to as the Pope, as the vicar of the church, which is like the leader or the king of the church. But ultimately, Jesus is the king. Amen? The scripture says that Jesus is the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. He's the ruler over everything. Amen? So when you think of Jesus as the king, then that gives him the prerogative and also the obligation to issue commandments to his subjects. Amen? Now, we are willing subjects. We're not lordship and the rulership of Jesus Christ, right? Are you guys with me here? So by doing that, that means that we have now subjected ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. Is everybody with me on that? So by doing that, that means that we have to do the things that he tells us we're supposed to do. That's just as simple as that. And so when you look at the definition of the word commandment and or commands, they are orders or directives or something that is commanded to be done. And many times when we think about the new covenant, we only think in terms of love. So let's start with the first commandments that we all know in the church, okay, that are identified in the New Testament. So let's go to Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. Of course, we know this, and this is the passage where Jesus talks about the two great commandments, and he was asked a question when he gave this answer. They asked him in verse 28. Let's take a look at it. And it says here, then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And then the scribes who asked the question, he says, so the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is no one, there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." So we see that Jesus laid out the two great commandments, and we all know these commandments. But I want to take a look at some of the words that he used. Now, I had up there the cross references, because a lot of times people think Jesus made up these commandments. And the cross reference for these verses is Deuteronomy 6:4. So let's go there real quickly. And I say this because people, and I don't know if it's intentional or it's just because they're just not aware, but people think that Jesus kind of made up stuff as he went. He just like made up these new rules and made up these new sayings and did stuff that nobody actually did. But that's actually not true. Jesus followed the scriptures. And so we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and it says almost the exact same thing that he just said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And the thing that Jesus added there was mind, okay? And then if you go to Leviticus 19:8? Was it what I'm saying? 19:18. And it says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So he just took out of the Old Testament or the Torah, as it is referred to by Orthodox believers, and he just He summed it all up in these two commandments. So it's important to see that this is what he was referring to. And the Jewish people knew these passages because the "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one" is something that they said on a regular basis. It was not something that was foreign to them. But let's look at some of the words, and we're looking at the words, some of the Greek words for heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay? And I got this from Strong's Concordance Greek lexicon. Now, a lexicon is just simply a list of words in alphabetic order and also the definition of those words. So let's look at the first word we look at is cardia. Now, cardia sounds like what? Cardiac. When you say you have a heart attack, it's a cardiac arrest, right? So we still use the word cardia today. It's spelled a little differently. I think it's spelled with a C now. So the word cardia means the pump heart, but it also means, as it says here, denotes the center of all physical and spiritual life, the center and seat of spiritual life. So when you think of the heart, you're actually talking about which part of the being of human beings? It would be the spirit man. The spirit man is the heart of man. In other words, it's the spirit that has been quickened or that gets life from the Holy Spirit, right? Our spirit is made alive through being born again. So now the spirit man, which is the core of our being, is where God now dwells. Are you with me here? So it's important to see that. So Jesus is saying to the people that he's answering the questions to, you have to love God from the very core of your being. And you can't do that until you're born again. Because remember, and let's go to the passage where we get the phrase being born again. Let's go to John 3, 1 through 3, I think it is. Gospel of John, where Nicodemus comes. Huh? Yeah. And it says, John 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered again. It says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he's saying here that the Spirit has to go through a transformation in order to enter the kingdom of God. So in his commentary or his answer to them about which is the first and great commandment, he says to them, you have to love God with the core of your being. The next word, soul, we get is the Greek word psyche. Of course, you get psychology and all those words, psychic, and all those words come from that word. And that is the soul, the seat of the feelings, desires, affections, and aversions. And just in case somebody didn't know what aversions mean, the things that you dislike or avoid. So the soul, he says, you have to love God with all your feelings, your desires, your affections. So what is he saying? You have to be tuned in by the Spirit and to love God through your emotional part of your life. And it's not just an emotional thing. It's a choice to follow and to love God in this way. So the core of what we do, first, is our spirit. Then secondly, our emotions or our feelings or our desires. We have to will to love God. Are you with me here? And it has to be more than anything else. We have to have a priority. God is the priority of our life. Everybody say, God is the priority of our life. And that's why when Jesus said, if you love father, mother, brother, sister more than me, what did he say? You're not worthy of me. And you know, a lot of people read that and they say, man, that is hard. That is hard, Lord. But what he's saying is I have to be the preeminence even over your closest natural relationships. And when you do that, you can avoid a lot of the conflict because God is the top priority. You don't have a lot of the arguments with your family members because God is the one that is the top in your life. Amen. Then we go to the third word he used, and that was the word mind. The mind, of course, is a faculty of understanding, feeling, desire, way of thinking, thoughts. Now, many times in the Bible, the word soul and mind are intertwined together. You use those two together. But in this instance, he separates it out. Now, even though the mind and the soul and all those things are usually linked, you can see that the mind has a different function. If you're talking about just the brain part of us, the mind is where we get understanding or where we process information. Now, the mind is also where we will to do things. So, in other words, our mind is the place where we decide. And, you know, I can't see how that you can separate the two. But the mind is where our understanding lies. Amen? So he says to us, to love me with your understanding. And that's a hard thing because a lot of people love God without understanding. And because they don't understand God, they have contrary views in their lives that don't match up with the Word of God. A lot of times you wonder, you talk to people and they say, oh yeah, I'm a believer, I serve the Lord. And then you ask them a question and then they're way out in left field on this subject. And it's almost contrary to what the scriptures teach. Because they have not received understanding on that subject and allowed God to come and be Lord over that understanding in their mind. So Jesus says, you have to love me, with your understanding. And then the fourth thing he says, with all your strength. I'm sorry, the word for mind in Greek is dianoia. And then the word for strength, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but ikaios, I believe, is how it's pronounced. But I may be wrong. But I'm not doing a Greek lesson here, so you can go look it up if you want to know. And then he says, strength is ability, might, force, and of course, the word strength. I thought I deleted that because I never like to define the word with the word because it brings no light enlightenment. Have you gone to the dictionary before and it says, you look up the word command and it says to command something. Now, that doesn't help me. If I'm trying to figure out what command means, I don't want command in the dictionary. So usually, and the good thing about dictionaries usually has multiple different meaning, so you can kind of combine them, and that's what I like to do. I don't just take the first meaning, you kind of combine the pieces. But look at the word ability. When you think of strength, strength is the thing that we use to do things. Our strength allows us to work, to think, to do all the things we do. And he says, with all of our ability, we are supposed to love him. That means that the things we do are supposed to be pleasing to him all the time. Not just part-time, but everything we do is to be pleasing in his sight. Our ability is to glorify him. Amen? Now, does that mean that you have to be in church? A lot of people think, I can only glorify God in church, so they try to be an usher and a deacon and all that. And all that's a good thing, but that's not what it means to glorify God. You can glorify God as a patrol person as long as your attitude is right. It's right towards him and it's right towards those that are around you. It's not so much the work, although there are some works that we don't qualify for as Christians, and I don't need to go into that. But the point is, he's talking about when you do things in honor of him, and do those things in a way that exhibits your love for God. Amen? And then you look at what the scribe says. Now, what is a scribe? Anybody know what a scribe is? The Bible uses that term. The scribes and the Pharisees are usually together. Somebody studies the Bible, what'd you say? Same thing. Anybody else? Yeah, he was a recorder. Now remember, they didn't have printing presses back then, right? You guys know what a printing press, and I know they don't use it. Call it. We don't have printing presses anymore either. We just we do it by computer now. But in those days, if they wanted the Bible to be written out or given, or if they wanted to make a copy of the Bible, they had to handwrite it. So the scribes were people who wrote down the scriptures meticulously and made sure that it was written right, translated right, all the words were right. They would actually throw away a whole parchment if they made a mistake. It was that important for them to get it right. That's why when people say, oh, the Bible's written by some old people, they don't know the meticulous detail that went into writing the scriptures. But at any rate, so this is a person who knew the Bible, wrote the scriptures out all the time, and notice his answer to Jesus. He says, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart. And notice what he says. Now, Jesus said mind, but he used the word understanding. With all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, he was, and that's why Jesus said to him, you're not far from the kingdom. Because you're starting to see this is the reason that we are created. So I wanted to concentrate on how he adds in his response to Jesus, understanding. You cannot serve God without understanding. And you cannot get understanding unless you get it from God. And that's the circle of revelation. We have to have revelation to understand God. But the revelation has to come from God for us to understand how to worship God. And that's why I'm going through the Old Testament, because many people have gotten to the place where they now think education is enough to understand right and wrong. That's because the Word of God has so saturated the earth, we are blinded by the fact that the Word is such a big part of what the world is now. See, we take it for granted that some things are right and some things are wrong. But when you go back to the Old Testament, they didn't know what was right or what was wrong. And the scripture says that God gave the word so that we would know what sin was and how to avoid it. That's what the Bible says the law was given for. And I'll give you an example. In the law, it said that you're not supposed to marry your father's sister or your mother's daughter or your father's daughter. Well, Abraham was married to who? His was his father's or his mother's sister, one of those, I don't remember which. But he violated that command. But that command was not written when Abraham was married to Sarah. So it didn't apply. Are you with me here? But now that it applies, you can't marry your brother and your father's sister, daughter or your mother's daughter. Are you with me here? And that's what the word does. It shows you, it enlightens us to the truth. And until we get understanding of what the truth is, we can't properly love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And understanding is the most important thing that we have to get when we're dealing with the scriptures. Amen? Proverbs says, with all you're getting, to get understanding. That's the most important thing. Amen? All right, let's move on. So let's go to the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And let's then, as a commentary to this, let's go to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 10, I believe. Yeah, 13, 8, and 10. So Romans chapter 13, verses 8 and 10. And a lot of people read that this first verse that we're getting ready to read that talks about owe no one anything in a monetary sense. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think you're doing any injustice to the scripture if you say, yeah, I ought not to be in debt. But that's not really what he's talking about here. But he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. Now, I want to take notice that how this passage says murder. And it's important to understand that the Ten Commandments does not say thou shalt not kill. It actually should be translated thou shalt not murder. Because God did not forbid killing, especially in the sense of corporal punishment. Excuse me, not corporal punishment, but a capital punishment or execution. Matter of fact, he commanded that if you killed somebody, you had to be executed. Okay? So he can't be talking about killing. He is talking about murder, okay? And it's important that we understand that. A lot of times the church has grabbed onto the word kill, and so the church is against capital punishment. It's against abortion, which it should be, because abortion is, you know, killing. I guess that's murder, but it's not considered a person, so it's not called that. But they get these things mixed up and they try to intertwine the two when those two things don't go together. Those are not the same acts. So here it talks about you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you should not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is anything, any other commandment, all are summed up in this, saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, in your natural state, you cannot fulfill this commandment. You cannot do this without the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because in our natural state, I hope most of us don't want to kill people, but although the scripture does say if you hate people in your heart, you're moving that direction. You're down the slippery slope, if you will, because we all know that people don't murder unless they're mad or angry or hate somebody, right? So he says, if you hate in your heart, then you are guilty of murder. So only way we can avoid falling into this trap is allowing the Holy Spirit to stop that thing before it germinates and becomes what it will lead to, sin. All right? So in other words, when we get mad at somebody, we stop and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, first of all, I need you to help me to forgive that person or not to get angry because, you know, right now I'm getting mad. To be honest, I'm mad. And I don't want it to go any further, so I need you to help me. And if we don't allow the Spirit to help us, then our anger will then cause us to react and to do something that we're not supposed to do. Amen? Same thing with lust. The scripture says if you lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery with someone in your heart. So when you desire someone, first of all, that shouldn't be anybody other than your wife. So when you start desiring people that you're not married to, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and say, or your husband if you're a woman, obviously. You got to be clear on that today. But if you get a desire for someone to be with someone, you know, the enemy tries to, maybe especially when you're having trouble with your spouse, can you say amen? All of a sudden you run into your old girlfriend, your old boyfriend, all of a sudden you just happen to run into them. And the enemy and then tries to bring up all these feelings that you used to have. And if you're not careful because you're mad at your spouse, you might allow the enemy to slip in and try to get you to desire to be with someone else. But you have to allow the Spirit to capture that emotion and bring it under subjection so you don't act on it in the natural or in the flesh. Are you with me here? And so because you do this because you love your neighbor. And the funny thing about this is that your spouse is your neighbor. Everybody is your neighbor. Now, your spouse is obviously at a higher level, but you're supposed to love them like you love yourself. So because we don't want to hurt ourselves, we don't want to injure ourselves, we don't want to harm our spouse because we love them as ourselves. Are you with me here? But we can't do these things unless the Spirit takes control of our life. We're loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Amen? So we see these commandments and then we are able to do them only by the Spirit. And let me just say this. This is not actually not in the lesson, but a lot of people confuse love with just being passive. In other words, I love somebody, so I don't correct them. I don't confront them. I don't discipline it. If they're children, I don't discipline my children, or whatever the situation is. We get love. We get this crazy definition of love, but God says that he loves us more than we love than our mother and our father loves us, right? He says that, doesn't he, in the Bible? But we know that God does discipline us, doesn't he? The scripture says that he chastises those he loves. And he says, and if he doesn't chastise you, you're not his children. So then if God, who loves us beyond what we can understand, tells us that we need to be corrected, how much more should we correct those that we love? Even when it's an adult person. And how do you don't get the strap out and start beating an adult, but you show them the error that they have made, or the error of their ways, so to speak. You tell them, you know what, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. That wasn't appropriate. And if the person has the right spirit, they'll receive it. Now, a lot of us now, and you know, all of us are like this probably, when we get corrected, we don't always just, oh, you know what, you're right, I'm so sorry. Gosh, I don't want to, I'm sorry, please forgive. We don't usually respond that way right away. We respond like this. That's just your opinion. I don't care what you think. And then you go away, and the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, and he says, you know what, Harold? That was not the right response. She's trying to help you, and you got that kind of a response? That's not the way you're supposed to respond. So now you have to go back and apologize twice, one for the act and two for the response. But if we allow the Spirit of God to do this in us, then we can learn to love one another as we love ourselves. Amen? A lot of times we just gloss over, and then the church wants to say, oh, yeah, that's why we just love everybody. And yes, of course we love people, but that does not mean we allow people to do harm to themselves. Hear me. Everybody who has children or has influence or been around children, you don't just allow your child to do anything they want to do that's harmful to themselves. You know, children do some wild things sometimes. I mean, they'll go and play in the toilet. And what do you want in the toilet? What in the world do you want in the toilet? But they'll go and play in the toilet and they'll drink the toilet water if you let them. But you, because you know that's not good water to drink, you say, well, don't go in the toilet water. And then if they keep doing it, then you have to discipline them. You instruct, and then you discipline. Well, if somebody else is living a toilet type of life, we have to try to help them to see the light. Now, we don't have to, you know, you're going to hell if you don't stop drinking that toilet water. No, but you could tell them that, you know, God has something better for you if you allow him to work in your life. Now, some of them are going to say, like we did when we were not saved, I don't want to hear that God stuff, that Jesus. You know, Jesus, what's that 2,000-year-old guy have to do with me? You know, we used to say stuff like that. I mean, I think of Marquise's song with the God of the Living. He said, you act like Jesus is still living. I have news for you. He is still living. But we have to be willing to, because we love people, we can't allow people to do things that are harmful, even if they don't think it's harmful. That's the hard part about it, because most people don't think sin is harmful. Those that are outside the kingdom, I'm talking about. And when you try and get them to see it, they can't see it unless the Holy Spirit quickens them. But we don't know when he's going to do that, so we have to be the instrument of the seed or the water that might be the thing that brings them out of where they are. But we have to do it in a way that makes God attractive and does not push them away from God. Amen? The big thing is homosexuality. I mean, this is becoming bigger and bigger in this country. And homosexuality is forbidden in the scripture. There's just no, if you read the Bible, that you just have to come to that conclusion. But that doesn't mean that everybody, that we have to reject them as human beings. They obviously don't see it. And so we're the people of light, therefore we have to cast light on them. Now, they may hate us, they may call us names and all that stuff, but that doesn't mean we don't do it. But we do it in a way that draws them and not repels them. We don't hold signs up, you're going to hell because you're a homosexual. That's not going to bring anybody in. But when we get to, and see, this is the stumbling block, because a lot of Christians, and I think everybody, all of us know somebody that's a homosexual. I mean, we all know that, right? I mean, you think about it, somebody's friend that you grew up with is now a homosexual. We have to treat them like God treats them. Just like the woman that was caught in adultery, who was guilty of sin. Jesus did not just... Oh, yeah, where are the stoners? I mean, where are they? Because you're going to die today. I don't know what you thought I was going to stand. No, he didn't do all that. He gave her, extended to her the grace that he came to give. And that's what this era of grace is all about. We extend, nobody is without sin. None of us were without sin. So we shouldn't be so self-righteous now that we have been born again and now are living in the righteousness of God. We still have to be able to relate to those that are outside the kingdom. And we have to welcome them, even though they don't look like they should be welcomed. And that's something that the church has to continue to work on. Amen. We're talking about, I know you think we left the subject, but we're still talking about loving people as we love ourselves. Because this is what the commandment engulfs. It doesn't, but what the commandment does not say is that we are supposed to love people and therefore give them a pass for doing wrong. It doesn't say that. I remember having to confront my parents, on a time or two when they, and, that's one of the hardest things you could do as a child is try to talk to your parents about the things that they're not doing right, because you have to do it in a very respectful way. And, of course, I was older, so I wasn't, like, 12 trying to do it, but I was in my 20s. But, nevertheless, it's not easy. It wasn't easy. And when it was all said and done, I had to appeal to their authority and the love that they had and that they knew, the things they knew about God, to get them to see where they were wrong. And that's really what it's all about when it comes to loving people as we want. We would want someone to come to us and have respect for us. And because of their respect for us, we can accept what they're saying. But if you don't show any respect for people, you don't show any deference to who they are and what they've gone through, you've heard people say, well, you just don't understand what I've gone through. And then some of us say, yeah, and I don't want to know. Well, no, you can't relate to anybody if you don't want to know what they're. You've got to understand their story so that you can see how Jesus can make it a happy ending. So we have to be conscious of the fact that we're trying to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. I'm going to have to close. It's 8:30 already. We haven't got to all what we're going to go to. So we'll pick it up next week. So we're just talking about the two commandments, the two great commandments, and then we'll get to some of the other things that Jesus commanded us to do. Amen? Amen. So let's stand, let's pray. And if you need prayer or you need God to do anything in your life, you know, come and pray. We'll pray after we're dismissed, and there should be some snacks in the back for everyone as well.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.